Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jay Vijayan to the broadcast. Jay is the Vice President of IT and Business Applications for Tesla Motors. Jay and his team are responsible for infrastructure, operations, security, and business applications for all of Tesla, including supportive engineering groups, corporate business groups, and the global sales, marketing, and service organizations. Jay works with all the company's groups to identify opportunities to structure IT solutions and to deliver measurable returns to the business. Prior to joining Tesla, Jay was the Senior Director of IT Business Applications for VMware. In that capacity, Jay led the applications development of all business applications for VMware during a period of dramatic growth for the company as it jumped from $700 million to nearly $4 billion in annual revenue during the period between 2007 and 2012. Prior to his time at VMware, Jay held a variety of application management positions at Oracle. Jay has a master's degree from the University of Madras. I recently caught up with Jay in his office in Palo Alto, California, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as Jay described how Tesla develops homegrown systems to ensure flexibility and agility, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Jay described how IT collaborates with different areas of the business, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Vijayan, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. Good being here.
Well, Jay, I would love to have you tell us a bit about Tesla Motors, which is such an interesting company in an industry, it should be noted, with very high barriers to entry, as well as more than 100 years of history to it, and one of a few companies in Elon Musk's portfolio of rethinking some inherited knowledge and reengineering the way in which corporations are run in those traditional industries. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about the company as well as IT's role in that journey.
Absolutely, I'll be happy to. I'm a newbie to Tesla. It's been like 5 months, but it feels like I've been here for a few years because one of the reasons is the company really moves fast. It's a very exciting and very innovative company to be in. I think, as you know, not many companies come out in this space and with so much innovation and revolutionizing this whole industry. And as you briefly mentioned, that even though automotive industry has a history of like 100 years or more, but Tesla itself is doing a lot of unique things that is completely changing how automotive company will be in terms of operating. So there's a lot of new things. I can mention a few. One is obviously the core product itself is the product of innovation. It's a vision I think Elon Musk had, and he's just making that innovation come true. I think he has a clear vision and a path for the next few years and what the company has to do. So I think he had laid this out in a few of the earlier interviews, and he is keeping up to that. But I think people do miss this whole vision and probably interpret pieces of it in between and say, okay, Tesla is a niche company and then they sell expensive cars, and how could they become a very mass producing and consumer car? And I think Elon has clearly mentioned in several of his earlier discussions or interviews and even some of his press releases that the original vision of creating the first product, which is the Roadster, which is in the market right now, is to prove the concept and create the brand. I think that's what he did very clearly. I think Tesla has a very strong brand, even though as a company, we don't focus or spend any money on commercials or advertising or anything. It's purely by the product. And I think the product itself has proven in terms of performance and in terms of the battery range and the concept itself. And next, I think the biggest thing that is coming out is the Model S, which is the consumer car, even though it's a general consumer car, but it's a mid-size luxury run. The key thing I think that Elon had mentioned earlier is people shouldn't buy Tesla's car just because it's an electric car. They will have to buy the car because it's awesome, it's a phenomenal car, which happens to be electric. And which is true because Model S is a gorgeous car, and I think we see a lot of interest for it in the market. from the number of reservations we have and the number of customers that visit our stores. So it's been phenomenal. And the next part of his vision is in 2015-16 timeframe, come up with a much more affordable electric car. So in short, I think it's a phenomenal and very innovative company, and it's exciting times to be at Tesla.
It certainly sounds like it. And so much of what you've described and what has been written about Tesla certainly represents it appropriately as a very tech-centric organization. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about the line between engineering technology and the technology that is created and managed by the IT department. Is it a blurry line between those? How do you collaborate with your peers and your colleagues in the engineering technology part of the house?
So we have very good collaboration going between the engineering organization and the IT organization. And like you said, it is a tech organization and it's a tech company, and that is how it is being perceived, and that's how Elon also sees it. And it's not a purely a car company, but it's also a technology company which produces cars. So that's how we look at it. And that's how we do stuff internally as well. So I'll start with the engineering. So the engineering, as one of the visions of Elon, is to as much as have the core IP internally. So everything that is really core to the business is homegrown, which is proprietary to Tesla. It is made in-house, including all of our powertrain, our batteries in the car, to the engineering software for the car, even the infotainment systems. Everything is developed in-house. We in IT collaborate very closely, as a normal IT, in terms of providing all the infrastructure that is necessary for the engineering teams to move in the speed that they need to move and develop the software and deliver. We produce everything from the networking to the computing clusters and everything that is needed there for development as well as simulation and everything. The next is we closely work with the engineering team in the security area. So we take customer security very seriously. And since our cars are going to be connected to not only to the Tesla network, but customers are going to have mobile apps like an iPhone and iPad where they can really track several things in their car, including their battery ranges, their metrics, and also to keep track of the car itself. So we work closely to provide the necessary security, establishing the whole security tunnel, the channel, everything that is required to make it as secure as possible. So we work closely with the engineering organization in that. Next is coming to the corporate IT. Even though the engineering systems are all managed and maintained by IT, we are in the process of developing our own homegrown application for all of manufacturing and supply chain functions. So this is again unique. Like, you know, all the automotive companies, pretty much as far as I know, everyone uses a big package applications, like mostly SAP or Oracle or one of these. The big difference in Tesla is we are developing and implementing our own homegrown application. I think the reason behind that is, one, we want to be very flexible, agile, and our core system should be able to easily talk between each other. Because one of the things that Elon had thought through earlier and which we all agree and align towards is all of these package applications in the industry make it really, really hard to connect, integrate, interface, and even talking between each other. It's a nightmare. We need additional tools, connectors, plug-in, and all sorts of things. And still we have issues in connecting them. And not only that, getting support from the vendors. So we want to get away from all of those for some of our core business functions. It's not that we don't use package applications. We do use package applications in several areas. But for all of our core functions, we wanted to go homegrown. So that's one of the exciting things that we're doing in IT.
Very interesting indeed. So I want to go back to this whole notion that you've elected to gross a lot of your own systems. And a lot of it is for that agility and flexibility that you've talked about. So many other organizations, as you correctly point out, have chosen the kind of usual suspects for their off-the-shelf purchases of these very same kinds of capabilities. And do you ever worry in the course of developing things that are uniquely your own that the total cost of ownership, the back-end managing of these systems, the cost of doing this versus going with off-the-shelf may be something that is prohibitive? I assume that's probably an analysis you've done to determine that it is not, but I'd love to have you talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did that analysis. So when I came in the first 1 or 2 months, when Elon gave me a target about when we need to deliver, obviously with everything with Tesla, we move so fast. Our targets are extremely tight and aggressive to deliver because of the time to market. We want to support the business. we did a complete analysis of what it takes to build versus buy, and it clearly came out cheaper. So the thing is, we will have some initial investment. Even then, we did a comparison. So for example, just a simple comparison was, we have SAP existing, and if we have the application support all of our ramp up, we will need an upgrade of an SAP application. So we did a calculation of what will it take to do a full upgrade of SAP for our manufacturing and supply chain, and what will it take for us to really build this homegrown system and implement it and maintain it. And it does come out much cheaper to build our own. Actually, it was pretty close for the first year, but as we move forward and calculate for the year over year and quarter over quarter, it is much, much, much cheaper, because we don't have licensing costs, we don't have maintenance to pay, we don't have support subscriptions, and everything that we have to do is just invest in our people, which we anyway have to do, because today we have a, even for our SAP, whatever our package software, we maintain and manage a large team of business analysts and developers to do customizations and to do configurations and to support business. And it's exactly the same number of people that we need. And in fact, the people that is needed, we can afford them much cheaper than what SAP consultants would cost. So when we did all the calculations, it came out really cheaper. So if we do it right, and obviously there is a risk, because we do recognize, I have extensively in my experience, I've implemented larger ERP systems in my previous jobs. I don't discount them. These applications have matured over years. I mean, they have decades of development and enhancements and feature functionality, bug fixes, and all of those in their belt. And we shouldn't be discounting all of those. It's not that they're bad, but it's just that they, some of these applications like SAP and Oracle, they've just become bigger and bigger and heavy. They're not flexible anymore. So they build a functionality and features that is required for every single company in not just one industry, multiple industries. And they might have 100, 200 features that out of which we might use only 10. But all of the features there are remaining. It's just not that they are staying there, but they do interfere with how we want the system to work for our business function. So the flexibility really is not there. That's what we will be getting with the new system. So overall, cost-wise, it comes out cheaper for building our own house.
Very interesting analysis. Thank you for walking us through that. I know that another area that you and your colleagues have rethought the way in which the automotive industry has typically operated is the way in which customers and potential customers can interact with Tesla online. I know that you've developed new ways in which to engage customers as they're contemplating the purchase of a car and even after they have done so. Can you talk a bit about some of the ideas that you've brought to life there or the organization has done?
Yeah, our goal is to have a connected customer. One is, obviously, we do have the car which is connected to our network, and we do provide a mobile app, which is the iPhone and iPad, where customers can do several things that they would find it very, very useful, right? So they can always check anytime how much is their battery charge remaining, and a lot of other metrics that they would be interested in terms of the people who are really into cars. They can track like their average speed. They can talk about the acceleration per second. There are a lot of very interesting things for customers to be connected to their car. And for Tesla, what we want to do, the vision is to collect information from the car for improvement. So what we wanted to do, I mean, this is optional for the customers, but we try to collect information as much as possible so that we can improve. So if we see an issue, we wanted to tell the customer before they really realize there is an issue. So that's kind of the goal we are targeting towards. So we wanted to let the customer know, keep them informed about their car, about any improvements that they need to do, anything that is due for them, like even service or things that they need to be replaced. So we can let them know much earlier, and we can work with them in a manner that is convenient. So the key is for Tesla is to provide the whole customer experience. And that is one of the reasons why we wanted to, or we will have our own stores. We will continue to have our own stores. We don't do dealerships, and we don't do dealerships or outsource any of our even service centers. So everything is Tesla owned. So that way we can provide the complete customer experience, starting from the time they order the car, the time they pick up their car, and then we can continue to be Tesla customers. So even for when they take the delivery of their car, they have several options to take delivery of the car. Like they can visit one of the Tesla stores nearby, they can come to our plant to take delivery, or they can get it delivered to their home. So we wanted to be completely connected and provide a complete experience to the customers.
Very interesting. And again, this is a great example of the vertical integration that Tesla has elected to pursue because of the value, the unique value you believe you can deliver to customers in a new way relative to the way that things have been done traditionally in the industry. I think that's so interesting. I wanted to also ask you, Jay, about the general IT trends. We've covered a few of them through our conversation, but are there additional trends, just generally speaking, that you are excited about and plan on leveraging personally or professionally?
Absolutely. I have a vision which have Elon's blessing as well, is to build a private cloud for Tesla. Since some of the core things that we want to do, keep it in-house, we don't want to go a public cloud. It's not that we're not doing. There are areas that we do public cloud, but we wanted to build a private cloud for Tesla. As we grow as a company, it becomes easier, and we don't want to have, even though the traditional IT, but we still wanted to move towards the technology revolution in the cloud, but we wanted to build a private cloud, which we are slowly in the process of, which we want to leverage to easily manage, maintain, provision applications to our business users, and everything becomes much easier as a service rather than the traditional way of having our big servers and data centers and applications. So private cloud is one area which we are making some progress, but we will probably move much faster there.
That makes very good sense. Well, Jay, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and telling us a bit about your role at this very exciting company, Tesla Motors. Best wishes for future successes.
Thank you, Peter. Great talking to you, and very much appreciate your time being here.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat understands that selecting a cloud architecture is an important and strategic IT decision for today's enterprises. That's why Red Hat helps customers maximize their existing investments, preserve flexibility, and avoid lock-in to prepare for the demands of tomorrow. Learn more at redhat.com/opencloud today. Just listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Cool, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.